We're in a series looking at the book of Colossians and how we can rediscover community and be a really close community with one another. And we're just slowing down and just looking in depth at a few verses in Colossians chapter 3. So if you've got a Bible, turn with me to page 1184, and I'm just going to read a few verses, and we're going to focus on verse 14. So I'll start at verse 12. Verse 14 kind of picks up really the whole flow of the chapter, but I'll pick it up in verse 12, and then we'll focus on verse 14. Paul writes, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Verse 14 is where we're going to focus. So should we read that all together? Verse 14 says, "And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." So help us, Lord, understand and apply this, I pray. Amen. I think you'll recognize this song about love. We got it, Mike, for us to play?
Nothing you can make can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time.
As we go.
All you need is love. Dun, 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 dun. All you need is love. Dun, 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 dun. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need.
It makes you smile, doesn't it? I mean, Paul's writing it here, above all, love one another deeply. The Beatles are singing it, and we can picture, even as we sing it together, stadiums of people in our nation singing this song. I mean, so we get this, don't we? I mean, we get it. We already get it. I mean, the whole city of Brighton gets this. So this is an easy bit. Last week was hard. This is easy. I mean, let's go back. Let's have it on the screen here. It's easy. It says it right there. All you need is love. Do we get it? Is it easy? And what does the song mean? What is it that we all kind of, when we have these times and stadiums and big celebrations and people sing this, what are they meaning when they say, all you need is love? I found that there's a lot of discussion online about what this song actually means. And, you know, in true kind of flower power, hippie kind of time when this was written in the kind of summer of love time, it's kind of like, well, what does it really kind of all mean? And one writer, listener online, she wrote this. She said, "So I think it's meant to be about accepting yourself and loving yourself and everyone else, that loving people is the most important thing. He's saying, don't worry about the rest. This makes more sense when you move beyond the kind of early part of the lyrics and notice this little line here. Nothing you can do, here we go, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy." And again, in the next verse, it says at the end of it, "Nowhere you can be that isn't where you're meant to be. It's easy." So he's ending the song saying, just try to be you. Just let yourself be where you were meant to be and let it happen by letting love happen. And this attitude that love is actually about just being true to yourself and just doing what feels kind of just natural. Just be you. Just go with the flow. It's easy. That attitude is just soaked into our culture massively. That's what people think love is. Maybe that's what you think love is. Love is easy. Is that love? Is that what Paul is talking about? What is love that Paul is talking about? Well, what I want to talk about is firstly about rediscovering love. Have you heard sometimes these stories? They come up in the news every now and then of, when a masterpiece work of art has been kind of lost and forgotten about, and someone's used it as just another canvas and they've kind of drawn over it, and then someone discovers this canvas and starts seeing, and it's been covered in kind of muck and mire, but actually it's priceless. And that's what's happened with love. Love's become like that in our culture. It's been mired by and confused and painted over so that people actually excuse deeply selfish actions under the guise of the word love. Have you seen that happen? Maybe it's even happened to you. Maybe you've even done it. So what is love? Well, Paul is concluding a paragraph here, really a whole section, where he's been saying that love includes these wonderful things. Above all these virtues, put on love. Verse 14. But he's also, if you remember back from when we started the series, he's been saying that there's a whole lot of things that first, if you're to put on these things, you remember Tim speaking at the beginning of this series, if you want to put on the new clothes, what do you need to do to the old clothes? Take them off. And there's a list in the beginning of chapter 3 of Colossians of things that we need to take off. We need to get rid of sexual immorality, of gossip, of anger, of malice, so that we can put on compassion and humility and patience. And so many times those things in the beginning that are kind of like, well, this is how I feel, so I'm just going to be true to how I feel. And those things are kind of like, they get confused for love. They've been made into a caricature of love, whereas actually the Bible saying, Paul's saying, no, love is not those things. It is these things. And love is like a bond. It's like an adhesive that that kind of brings together these amazing virtues. It doesn't just bring together these amazing virtues like compassion and humility and patience and kindness. It actually brings people together as well as those characteristics are shown in our life. Love has amazing power, even with broken people. Love that little picture, Fiona, of you and Ernest just playing the violin together. Of actually bringing people together. And love picks up on all these virtues. You know, we were hearing last week about forgiveness. And I think probably all of us here, as we were hearing it, were thinking, forgiveness is hard, it's not easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it because we've been forgiven, and if we actually don't forgive, it's like we're drinking poison, hoping the other person's going to die. Forgiving's not easy, and love includes forgiveness. Love is not easy. But it is wonderful. It's costly, but it does make such a difference to our lives and the lives of others. And one of the things that happened last week, we had a question and answer time, and there were people who had comments and questions that didn't have a chance to get in. And someone actually emailed Tim and I, Sharon, very kindly. Give us a wave, Sharon. Sharon, very kindly, just emailed some of her story of forgiveness and said, look, if we want to share this, we could do. And I found this so helpful, as it just painted a picture of this love that includes things like forgiveness, that I thought I would just share a bit of Sharon's story here. So here we go. I've got it just here. And this is what she writes. It's to do with her relationship with her mum. I don't know how you find your family relationships. This is her story. I've been estranged from my family, and in particular my mother, for many years. The relationship I had with my mother and the things that she'd said and done had crushed the very core of my being, and for many years I was locked in a prison of hatred and anger towards her, and I couldn't even say the word mother without breaking into a strawberry-like rash all over my body. This was literally the buried anger and pain coming to the surface every time her name was mentioned. My thinking towards her was extremely toxic, and the only solace I could find to ease the pain was the hope of someday getting revenge and reciprocating the hurt that she'd caused me. I'm sure you'll agree this was not a very healthy place to be. That bit's in bold. as a new Christian, I'd given the Lord many areas of my life to redeem, but I'd never given him my mother. Until one day, in December 2000, when everything changed. I was alone in the house and the telephone rang, and it was my aunt, who I hadn't spoken to for many years, and I was shocked to hear her voice. She didn't ask how I or my son were or how I was coping as a single mum. I'd recently been through a very traumatic divorce, and a breakdown of my marriage was primarily to do with my family, who told my husband a pack of lies about me to cover over their shame. And she didn't ask if I needed any help as I was unemployed and struggling to make ends meet. She simply said in a cold voice, "Your mother has just been diagnosed with bowel cancer, and it's your duty as a daughter to contact her." End of conversation. I hung up on my aunt, and I was so incensed that she would dare suggest that I speak to my mother after all she'd done, that I went into the kitchen and I was angrily talking out loud to God, saying, "How dare she tell me my mother is dying? Why would I care? My mother killed me years ago, but I didn't have the privilege of dying. Instead, I've had to live with the pain." And I went on and on and on, spilling out years of self-pity, hurt, and pain to God. This stuff is real, folks. But what happened next shook me to the core and changed my life forever. Suddenly, a huge ceramic pot containing a large vine that had been hanging securely from the ceiling for the past 12 years came smashing down on the draining board, breaking the vine into pieces. There was soil, ceramic, and broken pieces of plant everywhere, and this stopped me in my tracks. And as I looked down on the floor, I saw that a book had fallen from the bookshelf and landed in the middle of the kitchen floor. It was a little book by John and Carol Arno called The Importance of Forgiveness. I froze, and as I looked at the book, and God spoke to me very clearly, he said, "Unless you learn to forgive, your life also will be like this vine and be destroyed." I immediately fell to my knees and sobbed uncontrollably, asking for God's forgiveness, and it suddenly became so clear to me that the only person I had really sinned against was God. And the thought of destroying my relationship with him was now too much to bear. I asked God to help me to forgive my mother because I didn't know how. And immediately the room was filled with peace and the turmoil within me stilled. And 20 minutes later, for the first time in many years, I received the grace to calmly telephone my mother and tell her how sorry I was to hear of her diagnosis, and this in itself was a miracle. She said that she was scared and she needed me because she didn't want to go through this alone. That was the first time in my life I remember my mother wanting to spend time with me. In a nutshell, I became my mother's full-time carer from diagnosis to death. From that day on, my mother went through every grueling procedure and operation with me by her side, and she was totally dependent on me to wash, feed, and toilet her. In fact, she couldn't even swallow. I had to swab her mouth with water. We had 8 months together, and we became great friends. She knew that I loved her and that I'd forgiven her. And she died in peace. Paul writes, above all, over all these virtues, forgiveness, compassion, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Her story touched me so much because it brought together forgiveness and compassion, kindness, love. But it also touched me because it brought together two people, united them. Brothers and sisters, this is my prayer for all of us, that as we look at this, what is very simple to read, but is very actually hard to do. It's not easy, but it is powerful. That we would know God's help to love. And this is the second and just final thing I want to say, is that we do need help to love. We do need help to love like that, in a way that really does show compassion and is moved in our bellies for those in need. We do need help to love those who've hurt us. It's not easy. It's costly. Love is not easy. It's hard. It's not selfish. It's self-giving. It's not about getting. Love is about giving. And giving's hard to keep giving. So how and why would we love in such a costly way? Well, because, like we were hearing last week, we forgive because we have been forgiven. So too we love because we are dearly loved. Look at that in verse chapter 12. We were looking at this some weeks ago. Therefore, as God's chosen and people, holy and dearly loved. You and I are dearly loved. We've been singing about it. We've been praising God about it. Sharon knew that to be true in her life, that God had dearly loved her. And God then was able to help her. God is able to help you and I. And God's love for us is bigger than you have yet realized. I don't know who here has been walking with God longest, known and loved Jesus the longest, but I know there's a few people here who, they'd say it's 70 plus years, even more. But even they haven't yet grasped just how much God loves them. I love the seafront. Do you love the seafront? I love it because it's massive, and it's only the English Channel. I love to walk by it. I love to swim in it. I love to get out in it. I love it. It's so spacious. One writer, A.W. Tozer, writes of the love of God, which is like a vast ocean. So deep and wide. And Paul, he writes, as he's writing to the Ephesians, that he's praying that they would know how long and wide and high and deep is the love of God, that they would know this love, that they might be filled to all the measure of the fullness of God. And as I've been preparing this talk, I've been praying for you, brothers and sisters, and for me, that we would know even more how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Do you want to know the best way to look at that? Is to look at the cross. Jesus said, he who's been forgiven much loves much. And like last week, when we see just how much we've been forgiven, that Jesus loved you and me so much that he was willing to die for all my sin, all of it, completely, totally. And not just that I would be then kind of left free from it, but then he would fill me with his love and say, yes, I want you to spend eternity with me. I want to give you lavish grace and so much goodness. I want to give you my presence and my spirit. And the cross speaks to me that he's willing to do all that at great cost because he loves me and he gave his life for me. The writer, Paul, the writer who wrote Colossians, says this in Romans 5, verse 8. He says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we turned our back on him, that's when he died for us. I used to do with my kids when they were little. I used to say, you know, how much does Daddy love you? This much? And they'd go, no. How much does Daddy love you? This much? No. How much does Daddy love you? This much? No. And I'd go, I love you this much. They always loved it. Sometimes they wanted me to kind of go like this. But that's what Jesus did. And actually, his arms outstretched are just a small picture of the huge extent of his love for you. Do you know you're loved? Do you know you're loved? Loved by God. Almighty, your maker, loved by Jesus, the Savior and the Lord of the world, King above all kings. My dad has written a little bit about this passage, and he writes this. He says, all of us has a need for love. I think it's true that all people go into a new group asking, do you love me? We're sort of like big love vacuum cleaners trying to see if there is any love there we can draw on. Emotional immaturity is not being able to get beyond that deep need for love. So we go into every relationship as getters. But in Christ, God meets that deep need for love by assuring us of his love. He allows us to go into relationships in any other context, not asking primarily, do you love me? But knowing that we're chosen, holy, and dearly loved by God himself. And that frees us up to go into relationships, not as a drain, but as a spring. We enter a group as people asking, how can I show you God's love for you? How can I show you God's love for you? So Fiona goes into the night shadow. How can I show God's love to Ernest? Sharon moves towards her mom. How can I show God's love to her? You and I go to our community group. And it's like, how can we show God's love? We go into the workplace, to our neighbors. How can we show God's love for them? We over all these virtues, put on love. It's got that sense that we've been given it, these clothes, so that we can show it to others. We are given what we then can pass on. And so my prayer is that as we realize God's love, as we let his love flow into our lives, that it will flow out, and it will. If love flows in, love will flow out. So let love flow in. Sharon, when she emailed us, said that she sometimes used a little illustration. I found this quite helpful. It's something about the cross. Can you see at the back there? Can you see that's got a cross on it? Yeah? And it said so often our lives are kind of full of kind of murky stuff. You know, it's kind of, we often feel kind of half full, and we often feel like there's bitterness or unforgiveness or lust or greed. It's just kind of consumed us. And you know what we need to do? We need to empty ourselves and give it all over to Jesus in the cross. Let him take it. He became sin for us. That's what the cross is all about. And then he wonderfully comes and he kind of cleans us out, as it were, with his love. He cleans us out and he just completely forgives us. And then with his love, his pure love, he fills us. Completely full. He gives us his spirit. His spirit, one of the fruit of which is love. One of the things the Spirit does is it helps us know that we are God's children. We cry out, Abba. And out of the overflow, then we can pour into the lives of others. So this morning, what I want to encourage us to do is I want us to empty the rubbish, the kind of stuff that isn't really love, but sometimes even gets labeled it. I want us to come to the cross, and I want us to receive, to repent and receive afresh his love, his spirit. You can do this at home. I'd recommend it, actually. Just get a cup, fill it with some rubbish. Think, God, I just want to pour it at the foot of the cross, empty, and then just fill it with clean water. And let that be a reminder. But we are going to right now do something a bit like that. We're going to just, in response, or maybe ask the band to come up. Is that all right, Sam? And just between you and God, he's here. My heart is that he would just pour his love. We've already had some really special time already in the service doing this. But I want to kind of just press into that in this next little while we've got. And there's two things I want us to do in response. And the first is, can you just take your hands like a little cup in front of you? Maybe just as we're doing this, the band could just play a bit instrumentally, if that's okay. Just cup your hands in front of you and imagine that's all the stuff in your heart and life. Like that dirty jug. Things we just sometimes need to say, Lord, I just want to pour this all at the foot of the cross again. And just open up your hands, just as it were, pour it at the foot of the cross and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I want to be emptied of self. Emptied of any unforgiveness. selfishness, greed. Give it to you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. And now bring your hands back together. Cup them again. Say, Lord Jesus, now please would you fill me with your Spirit and your love. Lord, I want to know how wide and long and high and deep is your love for me and for us. Come, Holy Spirit. Second part of our response is to move in love towards those that God puts on our hearts. He's made us and loved us so that we can love. It might be you just need to move towards someone in this time after the service. You might need to move towards your community or even joining a community or that foundations group or even maybe just doing Alpha if you've still got questions. Come and move towards people. As God loves, flows in. Let love flow in and love will flow out. So maybe just in this stillness, just say, God, who do you want me to move towards in love? Holy Spirit, would you put a name or a group on my heart? Lord Jesus, help me love that person, those people, as you love me. And so, Lord, keep pouring daily, and even now as we respond in worship, keep pouring your love into my heart, I pray, in your precious name.